Can I tell you a little something about ice cream? Well, ice cream is made from cream, which comes from cow's milk, and cream has a lot of fat in it.
Richard.
What? She's gonna find out anyway, remember?
What? Find out what?
Well, when you eat ice cream, the fat in the ice cream becomes fat in your body.
Richard, I swear to God.
It's true.
What? What's wrong?
Nothing, honey. Nothing's wrong.
So, if you eat a lot of ice cream, you might become fat, and if you don't, you're gonna stay nice and skinny, sweetie.
Olive, Richard is an idiot. I like a woman with meat on her bones.
Why is everyone so upset?
No one's upset, honey. I just want you to understand. It's okay to be skinny, and it's okay to be fat if that's what you want to be. Whatever you want, it's okay.
Okay, but Olive, let me ask you this. Those women in Miss America, are they skinny or are they fat? Honey?
They're skinny, I guess.
Yeah. Guess they don't eat a lot of ice cream.
Okay. Coffee? Coffee? Grapefruit? Thank you. Chamomile? And here's your ice cream. A la mode, right? I'll be back with your waffles in a sec.
Does anyone want my ice cream?
Got some bad news this morning. Someone spoke, I listened. All of a sudden has less and less to say. Oh, how could this be? When all this time I've lived by
casting. Welcome to the Unable to Podcast. This is Andrew.
Wait, are we?
No, how are we? Yeah.
No, I've been listening back. It's fine.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
No, never mind.
Okay.
There's a reason why I pulled these up a couple of days early so I can test.
Oh, what?
Oh, you're already better than Douglas.
Tested.
Do we have to talk about Douglas's movie?
I think we should. We can try.
Can we talk about, like, now that we've all seen This Is The End, can we talk about that Far Superior movie?
I made him watch it right after. It was so fun.
I'm surprised he had enough energy. You can just kill yourself like the old man in this movie.
So, the movie of the week that Douglas has decided we needed to talk about was The Secret of the Grain.
Ça fait 35 ans que je travaille entre la mer et le chantier.
Et alors, t'es plus rentable. T'es fatigué et tu nous fatigues.
Non mais attends, c'est honteux.
Mais c'est comme ça, regarde, il y a deux fois moins de bateaux qu'à 10 ans. Donc forcément, il y a moins de boulot.
Fais bisous à Pépé.
Puis un jour, il n'y aura plus de bateaux de pêche, il n'y aura plus de chantier, et puis il n'y aura que des touristes.
Oh, mon père,
regarde,
oh,
I won't even dare try to pronounce the name of this director. Douglas, can you help me out?
No, I can't.
You can't?
Let me tell you how I pronounce this, the name of this director. Racism. The guy who directed Blue is a Warm Scholar.
That's better than I thought. Yeah.
That sounds very French right there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You got all of the accents and the...
That's all good.
I thought he was actually going to attempt.
So, Douglas, tell us what this movie's about.
All right.
Wow.
This will be the first. Please explain to me what this movie is about.
This movie is about a family. It's actually, it centers along one man, Slimane, I think is his name. Slimane, I can't remember. He's kind of like the patriarch of the family. And you see him kind of go between different, I guess you could say, sects of the family. The family is, as with all families, a little bit dysfunctional. He has an ex-wife who either loves him or hates his guts, but probably a little bit of both, but definitely doesn't want to talk to him ever again in her life. He has a number of children. He also has a younger girlfriend, and that girlfriend has a daughter who Oh, okay, there we go. Who is probably the best person to him in this whole movie. This movie is really about his, I guess, transition. He's a pretty old man. He's probably about 70, 75, somewhere in that region. And he still works at the shipyard, but they're giving him shit and trying to get him to leave. And so he decides, finally, you know what? I am going to leave. I'm going to give up this job that I've had for 35 years, and I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I'm going to open a restaurant. Not only am I going to open a restaurant, I'm going to open a restaurant on a boat.
Well, I mean, he had experience with boats.
Well, true.
And fish.
A dilapidated boat that needs about $1 billion worth of repairs. And, oh, I have no money. Right? So, and this movie, in a broad sense, is really about that transition and about him trying to get the business up. But that's really just, I think, that's really just the context, the setting for what this movie is really trying to do, which is just to show the relationships, to highlight the relationships between people in this family, and how a family as what at least appears to be as tightly knit as this family, except of course for the big rift between him and his ex-wife, you know, how a family as tightly knit as that can still actually have all of these almost invisible, if you're looking from the outside, but huge as chasm cracks in the relationships between each individual member. Alright, you two guys don't like this movie. I didn't need you to tell me that. As I saw this movie, I felt the enmity. I felt the hatred from Andrew.
Could you feel it from Damien me. Through Twitter?
I actually could feel it. Not through Twitter. Mm-hmm. I just, as I was watching it, I was like, yeah, Damien's not going to enjoy this movie. Right? Or he could surprise me still. But I think the best I can get from Damien for this movie is, and this is only after I somehow am able to explain why I like this movie, which I don't think I can. I think the best I can get from Damien is, okay, I understand. And I appreciate what you are telling me. Oh, I think that's about the best I can do at this point. But
let's go, let's see.
No, listen, I said before, that was only if I could explain. I know all I can't explain.
Okay.
Alright, so I let's get the jokes out of the way. I really thought it was funny, even though nobody's gonna think it's funny, that at the beginning of the show, at the beginning of the movie, this guy kind of makes the rounds to his family, right? And it's not quite Goldilocks and the Three Bears, but it's like differing levels of or differing responses to him and his, like, he's trying to be nice to all of these people, right? He goes to his ex-wife and he's like,
she's not having
money. Exactly. I got fish.
Well, of course, you have fish.
You know, I don't have any money because guess what? I'm poor. And I don't work a good job, but here, take some fish.
You owe 2 months alimony.
And she's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, we have enough fish.
Then now he goes to his daughter, and his daughter is like, fish again? And then she's like, you know what? Okay, sorry. You're trying.
We'll take a few.
All right, cool.
I like her, the first time she appeared, and I like how she was dealing with her daughter.
That was insane. That was crazy.
Oh, it was so good.
And then now he goes to who, as far as I'm concerned, are his real family. His girlfriend and the girlfriend's daughter. Mm-hmm. And sure. He goes there, like, he walks up and is just like, I got some fish. Nobody likes it. They're like, what? This thing is awesome. We love you. I'm like, oh, okay. So you kind of saw that this so-called family, even though nobody really thinks that these two, the last two people, the girlfriend and the daughter, nobody in there likes them or has accepted them into the fray. But it's just interesting to see those differing responses to him and his efforts to kind of, you know, stay with the family and be a part of the family. I really just liked it for the relationships between everybody. You have, I think his name was Majid, the cheating husband, who, you know, and his relationship with kind of specifically his wife, but just generally everybody else, where, again, you know, from the outside looking in, everybody looks cool, and then every once in a while he does something and everybody's like, you motherfucker, what is wrong with you, right? And then you have things like the patriarch and his wife, and the patriarch and actually almost the whole family, because the whole family is kind of cut off from him in a sense because of their mother's kind of hatred for him. And it's just this movie, there's all sorts of things you could hate about this movie. It's overlong. The story just, if you're looking for a specific story to wrap your head around, you're not getting it.
Douglas, we'll take care of the hatred. Just tell us what you need about the movie.
But I really like the performances. The performances were great. I like those the fact that I got an insight into almost everybody. And I just love, they're just, it has these moments. And, you know, something as simple as being introduced to everybody you're going to see in those first 5 to 10 minutes on this man's journey home. Like, something like that. And then you realize, oh, this is just going to be a movie about family. And these people that he just spoke to, even though they might just be close friends, they are all, to him at least, really just family. And I really have no justification. I'm just, I like it for no reason.
Alright. So this movie is, it is long.
Mm-hmm.
And it is boring. And movies, Douglas just pitched a movie that I didn't watch at all. Movies about this kind of subject matter, where someone is just making a movie about, you know, this family and whatever, it hinges on how relatable the people are to you, of course, because if you don't know anybody like that, then the movie can't make any sense. Or it hinges on how well the movie is written, so that you stay engaged despite not having any real relation to these people. Now, this movie fails on both counts because, A, of course, this movie is unrelatable. I don't know anybody like this. And, B, it being a foreign movie, it didn't help that trying to gauge whether this movie is supposed to be funny or serious from subtitles and the looks on these people's faces, it was too much work. I was trying too hard to be engaged by this movie. The movie is 2 hours and some odd minutes. By the time the movie, the only thing I like about the movie is that at the end of the movie, something happens. And when it happens, I go, that is how I feel now that this movie has come to an end. That is precisely the reaction I am having, having sat down for 2 hours watching this boring movie. The movie isn't good. Sure, the performances might have been good. The only positive I have about this movie is that these people look like real people. Like in American films, all the actors look like, they look like actors. These
like
are some,
you can tell yeah, the difference. You can feel like a facade,
yeah,
being put on.
Right, they are plain normal people, but this many good-looking people have never been in the same room at the same time. These are some normal-looking ass people, and so, but the whole movie just drags. By the end of the movie, I was just sitting there going,
oh, don't worry, there were a couple points where I kind of nodded out a little bit. I don't know if Douglas saw me.
Why is this happening?
Andrew was on his phone the whole time.
Of course!
I was like checking the clock. I already knew it was going to end at 11. I was like, what time is it?
Just who is this movie for? I don't know. What is this movie about? Still don't know. Where's this movie set? Like, I don't know anything. I've sat down for 2 hours and two and a half hours and came out on the other side with nothing. Just holding nothing. Like, what in God's name? Like, I didn't watch football today in order to get this done. Do you understand?
You didn't see a match yesterday, no?
No, I just saw the scores. But this movie is... It ain't good, Douglas. I know you want to defend it because it's your pick. But Douglas, this is how I know this movie isn't good. Douglas, you'll never watch this movie again.
But like, he doesn't do that for a lot of movies.
No. But at least with those other movies, there's a lie that you tell yourself. You go, I'll watch this again. Douglas isn't even telling himself that lie. It is never... In fact, in like a month's time, you won't even remember the name of this movie. It's not good. It's not good, Douglas.
So, alright, let me start out with what I liked about this movie. Because there were things that I liked about this movie. Okay, Douglas makes it sound like, oh my goodness, Andrew, you're going to come back at me like it's, we were talking about Spring Breakers again.
Andrew, you fell asleep, though. Like, you can't say, oh, I like some things about this movie. I like the parts where I could fall asleep and wake up back and not miss anything about the movie.
Where I was just like, oh, I saved myself 15 minutes.
Yeah. I don't didn't sleep time that long. Travel.
I didn't sleep that long. But, like, and it comes through in a lot of the scenes. Like, if I took scenes as themselves as opposed to kind of trying to broaden this out into the whole movie, some of the scenes, and I think especially there's this early one with the first time they're all eating together at the mother's place. And this is something that I kind of take note of in films a lot when I see it, is that while it gave you this big setting, which while Damien says none of these people are generally relatable, you can kind of get that setting and you understand that setting like as you see it. You know what's happening.
You understand the people feeling, eating the food, yes. Right?
No, not just people eating food, but you know the whole gathering and everyone kind of being happy to be together.
I'm sorry, what?
You don't have that, David. People aren't happy together with you.
People coming together and be happy. I don't know what to talk about.
And I think that scene did a really good job of kind of giving off that really enjoyable, happy vibe that you have in that moment. And there are other scenes like that which does it so well that the filmmaker is able to give off these emotions more than just like, oh, this is the scene in which we find out that, is it Slimane? Slimane falls asleep and it's really boring and we're really tired. I don't know. Or when he leaves his job and he buys a boat and he has to scrub it. Like, those kind of things, like, those are the plot pointing idea of this movie is where I take issue. Where I think it was like halfway through this movie, I took a moment to myself and I stopped and I tried to think, what's happened? And I couldn't really come up with a like when that woman from the first scene came back, I was like, holy shit, she's still in this movie? Like, what was she doing in here in the first place? And it pays off eventually, but it's just this crazy.
Does it though? Does it pay off?
I think it's there just enough that it works so that you can have that final moment. You can have that final sequence when we reach the end. So everything kind of ties in that way. But it is kind of odd for, I think, for us to watch this movie and to not wonder why she was in there for around 2 hours of the movie. And I don't know whether we can call it a bad thing or a good thing, but it just felt weird. I mean, I went into this movie with Douglas going, oh my goodness, I have to watch it because it's the guy who did Blue is the Warmest Color, a movie I'm looking forward to, and Douglas loves, but now I'm just questioning whether I should want to watch that movie or not. Because I'm afraid that while there are going to be good things that I like about this as well as Blue is the Warmest Color, I'm afraid that narratively it's just going to hit me over the head. Not like with symbolism or anything, but just hit me over the head to put me to sleep kind of deal. And I'm not sure. Like, Douglas, can you promise me that this is not Blue is the Warmest Color, the prequel?
Yes, I can.
Do you see a difference in goodness watching these movies?
Yes. I love Blue is the Warmest Color.
And this movie is an atrocity.
I like this movie, but I know that my like for this movie is more appreciation than
Enjoyment. Did you enjoy yourself, Douglas?
I do have to say, I'm really happy how this movie ends, though. Like not so much like the fact that they kind of cut it at a point where we have put together enough pieces that when we see what's about to happen, we're like, oh shit, this is going to go bad. Like, in every way. And they just leave us there with, like, yeah, just nothing works out.
I knew this movie was going to go bad from the movie started. And the movie starts, and like, this is barely a spoiler. The movie starts, and there's a guy having sex with some girl on a boat for essentially no reason. And then it cuts to the main guy in the movie, and shit is going real sideways for him. He's been working all this time. And then I went, alright, so it's going to be this type of movie. And for the entire rest of the movie, it was just that type of, like, every encounter, every scenario he was in, it was just shit going bad. Like, oh, okay. I'm sure it's going to go good at some. Oh, wait, nope. And the movie's done. So, yeah. Douglas is lying to you guys. Don't be
smooth. Are you still looking forward to Blues Warmer's Color at this point? No?
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Last week, I had asked a question about phones in theaters, in the movie theater, and how you respond to seeing people with their phones. Like, do you have a confrontation? Do you just kind of sit in your chair quietly and curse in your inner voice and such? And the internet responded all with their procedures. Damien, you suggested using a machete. Douglas seemed to not care about
more
these
and more
things.
I'm thinking about building my own theater.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about that for a while.
No, but like, serious. Not like, you know, I'm thinking about walking into a bank with like a business plan that is clearly going to fail because of course no one is going to come. And get them to lend me money and build one. Because this is horseshit. Right, so the internet responded.
Rand McNeil from the Matinee tuned in, and he said that he tends to, if he's close to the person, he tends to just shuffle over and offer them a dollar and say it's theirs if they put away their phone. I asked him because that sounds so weird. Like, have there been any takers? And he says, sadly, none yet, but they tend to comply. Yeah. You would have taken his money, wouldn't you?
Oh, my phone would never
be. No, let's assume.
Oh, then of course. And shove my phone in his face.
First time watchers said that they tend to ask him politely in a firm, loud voice not to use it, and sadly that doesn't work in Jamaica most times.
We should just use escalation. Just be as loud as possible. Right?
That's
you bitch! Goddamn! Just annoy everybody. Just make it known to the world. Right? And if they respond, just get louder and just more ridiculous.
Sir Big John, I don't know this guy, responds that he throws Skittles at them. Like, he just throws, like, why would he throw Skittles? Those are expensive, aren't they?
Because you don't have any popcorn. When I have popcorn, I throw it at them.
And you don't have that many Skittles in a bag, like, you know, like, yeah, but you go there with, like, a jumbo
bag of Skittles?
At least
you can aim Skittles. Like, Skittles are dense enough that you can aim them. Like, popcorn, you throw it, and you just watch it float away. But Skittles, that's a good idea. I should just have Skittles on hand to throw at people.
Jason Christian says that he's he passive aggressively huffing and sighing, meaning he does shit.
Yeah.
He just kind of goes like, shit. David Cooper says he starts to loudly describe the onstage action for them so that they can follow the plot. Mm-hmm. Why would you help them?
Yo, alright, I know you're not paying attention, but the guy here. In this movie I'm trying to watch. Right, he just jumped across the road and shot Tom Cruise.
Sean Kelly from SK On Movies says that it depends on where they're sitting and his current mood. Usually it starts out with sternly telling them to shut off their phones. Every once in a while there'll be an F word. And he's kind of slowly but surely gone to the point of lesser than two evils, where he'll start kicking people's seats if they're right in front of him and such. So I think he has like the brightest that we can think of. But I think my favorite comes from Matthew Price, from Mamo, where he, no matter where the person is in the theater, if they're far away or if they're right beside him, he will, in the loudest voice possible, just yell, "Put that away. Just turn off your phone," in the loudest voice possible in the theater. And of course, it's before the movie has properly started, so you know that there's everyone hearing him. And then, sadly, if they don't respond, he just kind of sits down and goes like grumpy.
So I need to get in a lot better shape. And just straight up just punch people. The look, bitch, is not going to work. But this Jamaica, I'll get shot. I don't know. Like, there's not much you can do. Just stay over. And not
don't
have
go
the
to the theater.
Yeah, and just not have this.
Anyways, I was thinking this week with the release of Prisoners, which is the latest film by Denis, I will butcher this name, Villeneuve. I don't know.
Villeneuve, I think.
Villeneuve.
Sure.
Yep. Years of French.
The guy who did Ensandies, coming to do like regular, what do you want to say regular, American cinema. I was kind of wondering about these imported directors that they take into America.
What's the other option? Can I have Michael Bay? He's not making Transformers.
I'm curious, like, what everyone's like favorite director of this kind of category is. Like, I know that Wong Kar Wai did movies in America. I know that why can't I remember his name right now? The guy who did The Killer. Why can't I remember his name right now? And and Mission Impossible 2.
John Woo
was one of these. I mean, most any big name foreign director who hits it big, eventually they'll get a.
Yeah, at a certain point, someone calls you and go, "Yo, come and meet the tourist."
Right. So my question is, which of these imported Hollywood filmmakers are your favorites so far? At this point.
Stoker.
Lars.
Lars was not really imported yet.
What
are you talking about Nymphomania?
Yeah.
That didn't even come out yet. And just because Shia LaBeouf is in there doesn't mean it's American.
I don't know. Like big name people that we love that came across. Griffin, The Drive. Pretty sure that was an American movie.
I'm not sure, but maybe.
But like big name, like blockbuster type movies, I don't know.
Yeah, there are not many of those.
Yeah. Don't really get a shot at it because people.
That's why I thought of John Woo, because I'm like, John Woo has gotten to do those because he was always doing those just in China.
Right. It's not a different language.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
I don't know. Might have to look.
How it turns out. I don't know what's going on here. But this is the new segment, the pitch game. Damon is just like, can Andrew pick a bit of goddamn name?
These names are beautiful.
Damon is a tough seller on movies most times, which is why I've chosen him as a subject. Like, we should probably do this as a round robin one day, but I think it's fun to have Damon be the selector.
You guys watch a lot of garbage.
We do. So how this game works, if no one's heard yet, is that Douglas and I will take 45 seconds to pitch a movie that Damien should watch. And at that point, Damien will decide. We're not going to tell him what movie is, obviously. And we'll see who wins based on, and the only rules is that you have to pitch a movie that you have seen yourself, and you cannot pitch a movie that Damien has seen. So if Damien finds out that you're pitching a movie he's seen, you're disqualified and the other person wins. So that's basically the way I'm hoping to win these games. Mm-hmm. So Douglas, would you like to start us off this week?
Andrew's down one love.
Yes, he is. Let's see if I can keep the lead. So tell me when I'm ready or when I need to be ready.
Ready, set, go.
Damien, this is a foreign movie.
Okay.
About two characters, a girl and a guy, who, you know, meet almost by accident, and you know, it's clearly a love story. Well, you know, it's clearly there's chemistry there, and then by the end of the movie, they part. It's one of those art house movies. Well, not art house, but not American blockbuster movies. And so there's not much more about it than that.
Okay.
All right. Damien looks perplexed.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm a bad pitcher.
So there's this movie. It's from the 80s.
Okay.
It involves a family who are on the run. They have been on the run all of, like, for the last 20 years. And they've just moved to a new town. And it's all about this. Apparently they have two children. The two children were born while the parents were on the run from this crime. And they're lovely people. But sadly, like, the children have gotten into this mode of just having code words and jumping all around the place and knowing, oh, I saw a police car, I'm out of here. And it's all about the child falling in love and doing what he wants, and the parents not sure what to do in this point in time in their life because they don't want to get rid of the children. And that just made them the mark. I don't know who did worse today.
I think you may have, but
yeah, so I may have at the end of the day. Damon is lost as to which to pick.
Right. I definitely would not watch whatever movie that was.
Right. So Douglas has a foreign love story, what sounds like Before Sunrise.
It does. Like, I was thinking that, and I'm like, Douglas, are you cheating?
And you have an 80s Bonnie and Clyde type movie, except not Bonnie and Clyde because they have children, and the children are fucking with their couple. Is that basically what's happening?
They're not fucking with their couple, no.
No, like, the children know that, you know, parents
the children
are
all in.
Oh.
In jumping all around the place. It's only, like, at this point, the older...
By the way, you should so get disqualified.
I should. I am answering questions.
both these movies sound terrible.
Actually, I think this is a better way of doing it than trying to one-up each other. We're one-upping each other in badness.
Yes.
See which one he was like.
These are horrendous pitches.
I don't understand, though. He says mine sounds like Before Midnight and or
no, no,
Before
no.
Sunset.
No, it's how you pitch it.
Yeah.
Or you're like, it's like a foreign movie with a man and a woman. And they kind of love each other and then they leave at the end. What? But Douglas is right in saying if you say something that kind of sounds like Before Sunrise and you have to compete with Andrew's non-pitch.
So
Douglas wins again, but kind of by default.
Awesome.
So what's your?
So no. I think we should do second. I think we should do runner-up first. What was your pitch?
My movie is actually a movie pitches. I like a lot, which I saw this week. It's called Running on Empty. It's a Sidney Lumet film from 1988.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, mine, Damien, you really won. I think. By the way, we need to add something to this game.
What?
I think that every week, Damien needs to actually watch the movie.
He can't have seen the movie.
No,
exactly.
Yeah. He can't have seen Mobius, though. But if we can,
that was
like,
kind of part of my plan
oh,
when this pitch thing started. I'm like, all right,
fantastic.
Now I need to see and come back and berate
and say who tricked you into not
Damien, just won a wonderful experience.
This sounds bad.
So the movie I just pitched you was Once.
But he's seen that.
Has he? I didn't know that. Once? I don't know that.
Yeah, of course I've seen Once.
It's a musical.
I remember there was a period of like 2 months where every time I saw Damon, I was like, you've seen this one, right?
Right. When we just started this podcast, this fool kept going, Once. So I'm like, all right, fine, let me watch it. And it's just this guy and this girl with the goddamn banjos or whatever.
So I win back
singing all day on.
Yeah, you
night.
Do.
I win back like,
I remember at the time going, it's Andrew. Like, what in God's... This movie's okay, I guess. What is happening here? And I'm just like, no, it's the best movie. Oh my God.
No, that movie
is tremendous.
That movie is tremendous because of the music, but you will hate that part of it.
It was alright, but what about the rest of the movie? You
know,
like
mean,
the movie
I don't
part
need the
of the
rest
movie.
Of the movie. However, the rest of the movie is kind of awesome.
Although, I saw that years and years. What, 5, 6 years ago at this point, I probably would change my mind.
I love that movie.
No, you wouldn't, because it's a musical. Let's start singing and you'll be like, fuck this movie.
just think
I
it,
am
just
genetically
think it's a
predisposed.
Just think it's a
Lion King. Lion King's a cartoon. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's not a musical.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon?
The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky. With no clouds, the heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La 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 la.
Douglas wanted us to talk about tied in with Secret of the Green was, how did you put it? Mm-hmm. Top 5 movies that we watch because of directors?
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
Right.
So
every movie.
Every movie, exactly. Yeah.
So pick top 5 movies.
So I think tying into the movie we discussed, like, I interpreted this top 5 to be movies that we watch because of directors and then we end up not liking that much.
Oh!
Well, yeah, I think
that would have drastically changed.
For me, it was not necessarily good or bad, it was just notable.
I know yeah. you didn't put it in the title.
Yeah.
But
I definitely, in my list, I go on both sides, both ends of the spectrum.
I went only movies I don't like from directors I love. So, Douglas, since it's yours, you want to start off?
Sure. My first movie, so tie in with Andrew's interpretation of the list, is a movie that is just not good. And this movie is called Jackie Brown. It's directed by...
Don't you dare say a bad word about Jackie Brown.
It's directed
Brown.
By Quentin Tarantino.
We've talked about this a million times.
Yeah.
That movie's not good.
It's not good, Andrew.
No.
I watched it because Quentin Tarantino had made 2 really good movies before that. And guess what? You done fucked up, Q.
Yeah.
However, I give you this. You've redeemed yourself.
Sure, Quentin was about to kill himself.
He was. But I had to just put that in there. You know, a little positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. So, Quentin, go ahead. Make that next film. I'll watch it.
I just said, alright, what are the best movies I've seen that I would never have seen had it not been for the director's name being on it? Is the only reason that I watched the movie. So first is Joe Wright's version of Anna Karenina. Like, Andrew said that the movie was good, and I ignored him, of course, because Andrew's high and drunk. And then I remembered, oh, right, Joe Wright did this. Let me see what Joe Wright can do. And it was pretty, it was amazing. So
I'm still surprised that they didn't get one song in there. You just felt like they were
exactly. This is a musical, isn't it?
Andrew nope. Tricked you.
Joe Wright went, I don't like them either, dude. Let's be clear, musical stuff.
So my number five, and I have to say, I haven't really ordered my list properly, but let's just say number five. It comes from Martin Scorsese. And I don't know if you guys have seen this one yet, but he's this film, and apparently it was a big passion project of his at the time. The Last Temptation of Christ.
I really want to watch it.
With Willem Dafoe and Harvey Keitel. Willem Dafoe plays Jesus. And I did not like this movie that much. And I think it's mainly because, like, it does not pay attention to the Bible as like a strict store sense or anything. It does this whole other side of religion, and I just didn't get it when I watched it. And it's nothing other than that. I'm sure, like, in another 10 years when I'm older and wiser, one day I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh, I was totally wrong about that one. But Last Temptation of Christ, I do not like that movie.
Like, it's on New York. Stories was that
New York, New York Stories was three was different directors, right. And he was one of them.
Right. Yeah, but I remember after we watched New York Stories, I'm like, wait a second, Scorsese did another terrible movie. I remember watching another movie and going, this movie sucks, and then seeing his
Scorsese's
name.
Scorsese's section was pretty good though, from what
in
I
New
remember.
York Stories. Yeah, yeah, I like that one.
It's no. It is okay. Scorsese is better than that, even drunk and high. No, I'm not giving him. My bar for Scorsese is way too high. And I remember, oh, right, he did the movie that he's talking about. You know, the movie's terrible. So I thought Cinemax or HBO one time, Scorsese. Like, literally, I saw you're flipping through channels. I'm like, Martin Scorsese? Stop there.
There's a section where they go, like, what if Jesus wasn't crucified?
God damn it. This movie's terrible.
It's mad. It's crazy. Yeah.
It ain't good.
Wow. Okay. Oh, is it my turn again?
Yup.
Wow. We've really gone all the way around? Okay. So, my next movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep with the, you know, just general dislike segment going, and to actually keep with Andrew's last,
another Tarantino film.
Let's talk about Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are actually a couple that I could choose from. And Andrew knows the movies that
you're
I've
wrong
seen that I don't like. But the one I'm going to speak on, and the one that everybody's going to punch me in the face for, is one starring Robert De Niro, but that doesn't really... That doesn't...
You mean
narrow
Scorsese,
it down,
not
it?
He said Scorsese, not Tarantino.
I said Scorsese.
He said Tarantino.
No, you said Scorsese, and I said yes.
No. I looked at you and you said to keep with hating on Andrew, and I said Tarantino question mark.
Right.
You said yes, Tarantino.
Oh, I heard Scorsese in my head.
Right, we forgot I told once he said Robert.
Yeah, clearly.
There's
only
one,
and I've already spoken about that one.
Right.
Yes.
Wait.
Well, I do really hate that
I know
movie,
exactly what movie
so.
You're talking about, by the way.
You do?
I'm pretty sure I know
okay.
which one you want. You want me to tell you what it is?
It's Raging Bull.
I know you.
Oh,
I thought you
were going to go with Taxi Driver. Mm.
I think you've learned not to talk about Taxi Driver here. Like, you
yeah.
haven't heard our scorn for you for Raging Bull hate.
You're a real idiot.
I really don't like
There's
Raging
just
Bull.
No, when was the last time you saw that movie, though?
Probably
when I made him watch it the first time.
Years
like,
ago.
Doug, like, Douglas, you cannot be on this podcast and not like the movie. Like, you have to. It's like a required.
Like
required reading.
With all the French bullshit he likes.
Exactly. No, like, if someone came to me and said, Damon, there's a movie Douglas is supposed to like and he doesn't like. Like,
like some French bullshit. I'm like, no. It's like a really, really good director, and he doesn't like work one of his seminal work. Like, Douglas didn't do that.
By the way, I think my happiest thing right now is that I know Damien doesn't like Temptation of Christ as well, so I'm not gonna.
I don't think anybody likes
it. I know some people who do.
Yeah, but there's crazy people. That's because you're reading the internet. I'm talking about normal people.
They're normal people too.
Nope, they're generated by Google. All keyword searches.
Anyways, Damien, you continue.
Right. So the guys what made The Matrix kept making movies. Most of them were terrible. But last year they made Cloud Atlas. No, I haven't seen the book. Or whatever it was based on.
Wait, hold on, you're doing it good. I'm sorry, I got confused.
I haven't seen the book. I don't know what he.
But you know he likes.
Right, because
I don't
it was
know.
On my top 10
list. Yeah, I was confused. I was like, God's name. I thought he was going to be like, and I saw that again last week.
Like, when we saw the trailers, I'm like, this looks like some real bullshit.
Yes,
and this
did.
Trailer looks
yeah.
like horseshit. Yeah. And then, you know, it got some negative reviews by the internet when it came out. And then, like a couple of days later, the internet turned into like, no, Cloud Atlas is pretty good. And then by the time I saw it, I went, this movie's, oh God, I love this movie. And it was never, don't worry, I left work at 10 o'clock this morning. I reached late, no one can say a word to me. I'm like watching the movie, I'm like, do I have to say no that I like the Wachowskis? Because technically I like our movie. Like, it spanned three movies, but I really like the first Matrix and, like, the fighting scenes from the other two.
But, alright, let's talk about Wachowskis for a second, since you bring it up. Like, alright, I know there are people who don't like Speed Racer, but I think within this room, no one actively dislikes Speed Racer.
Fun, but it's not good. Like, Speed Racer is...
You don't like De Niro. You don't like Raging Bull and Taxi Driver.
Douglas has never been on the Speed Racer wagon.
No. Speed Racer is... It's just...
The Matrix and the Cloud Atlas. Can't we just say that the Wachowskis have a relatively good track record?
No, like, hold on. Let's think about it. How many movies have they made? They've made The Matrices.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They've made Speed Racer. They made Cloud Atlas. And they did Bound. Right?
Haven't seen that.
So... I don't know if they've done anything other than that, but that's six movies at least.
Right.
And right?
They have
done
two.
The Matrix
right.
good,
There's
and they do Cloud Atlas
right.
good.
That's
two out of
two
six.
Out of five
is
or
33
out of six
and
is
one third percent.
Kevin, that's when you get to a pass.
Look. We like to sit here and call Rian Johnson the greatest of all greats, and he's only done three.
Yeah
he's
right.
done three.
But
good
his three
movies.
Rocks. Like, if you bat 100, you bat 100. It's not like he made a movie. It's not like when we were like, "Our Cary Fukunaga is one of our favorites," when he only had a movie. We were like, "That is awesome," and that is the only thing. And then he made Jane Eyre and went, "All right, now it's two for two. We can legitimately say, but." Like looking back, I went, all right, Damon, let's be reasonable now. You love The Matrix, but you don't love it for the reason why, you know, you love other good movies. You love it because it's essentially Dragon Ball Z in real life. That is why you love it. Like, all right, the first Matrix is phenomenal. The other two, and then Speed Racer is another sigh. And then Cloud Atlas. So can I legitimately say, I love the Wachowskis. If I only really like two of their movies, they kind of... Like, the next movie that they make, if they make any more movies, I can then point to and go, alright, you guys suck. I'm on board.
Okay.
Yeah, so Cloud Atlas. It's pretty good.
My number four goes to Woody Allen, and he has many that I can pick from.
Woody Allen,
I don't. He is the definition of like a shotgun director who just makes films every day of the week
and misses 99% of the time.
Yes, you don't like him, all right?
Only when he got old. When he was young, that dude was on point.
sure.
And he's very much a 50-50 guy for me.
Yeah.
But I have
to
run
those numbers.
The number one bad movie that I pinpoint every time I have to call like my least favorite Woody Allen movie is Scoop. Like, scoop! And here lies the thing. I saw that movie before I was like, oh, Woody Allen is the thing.
What's
it? And I went, Ian McShane is in this movie. I have to watch this movie because I love Ian McShane.
Wolverine and What's-Her-Face from Avengers in there too.
Yes.
Right. The movie was horrendous. It started off with like
Sorry. We're talking about two different movies. That one with Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. I think that one is Match Point.
No. Hugh Jackman is Scoop. Matthew Good is Match Point.
Okay.
Right. There's like floating through the sea of sorrows or some shit at the start.
That's the one he's talking about.
Awful.
Yeah. It's
an awful movie.
Matthew Good and, so bad. And Mac McElroy, whatever her name is.
No, I remember Matthew Good, but I thought Hugh Jackman meant with the other dude. Sad.
The last thing that I'm going to talk about is actually it's really sad because this is actually it's a good thing, but this is the only movie from this guy that I've not liked, and I really do hate this movie. And I really do love this director. So, David Fincher,
Warhorse,
is one of the best directors around, right? He's done crazy things. And they're all just superb. But that motherfucker directed a backwards movie by the name of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Dog,
I love that movie.
No. That movie
on the shelf
is horrendous. Horrendous.
So hold on.
He's starting to become like Andrew. Since he's come back, well, I feel like I don't even know him.
No. That movie's bad.
Like,
and there's no way that you can.
I'd like to take note that the three movies he picked are all on my shelf.
One of those movies should not have been on
there. Like, I remember I saw
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button,
mm-hmm.
and the whole world is like, this shit is remarkable. And I was on board. And then it got all this backlash because, of course, the movie doesn't make any sense. Even if you take out the reverse aging bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just context. I don't
care
about
it. The movie doesn't really make a lot of sense. And then people came over, and I don't know how they looked through the laundry list of movies and chose that one. I think it was Brad Pitt. And they're like, let's watch this. And I sat there and like, no, I'm not on board with the backlash. This movie is still amazing. It's
every
ridiculous.
Time I watch this movie,
it's so good.
The only thing I would take out, if I took anything out of that movie, would be the hurricane references at the end.
Mm-mm.
The Hurricane Katrina stuff.
Mm-mm. I like
all
that.
Because I do get
movie.
How that fits in.
Just
properly.
Make it clap.
All right, moving on.
Let's stop talking to him.
Right. So there is a director that I love. He has a movie coming out next year. What's called Nymphomania. Now, of course, none of us here watch Lars von Trier movies for a long time, and it wasn't until Antichrist came out,
mm-hmm.
and we sat down, we watched it, and we went, at least me and Douglas.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I need to see what is happening right away because this dude.
There's
is
something rotten in dead.
No, there's something. Something.
There's
well,
something
actually, it is rotten.
Yeah,
but it's
oh, God. It's fun to look at. And I've now seen all of his movies. My favorite of his movies is still Dancer in the Dark. I think it is remarkable. Like, the mere fact that he got that girl to act is... no one else could do that. And the movie, it is just astounding. And everybody, like, it... Although, like, me talking about this movie, it won at Cannes. So it's not like, if you're into movies, you should miss it. But at some point, if you follow movies, just sit down, watch it. It's remarkable.
Well, I still haven't watched that movie.
You're such a bad person.
My number three is from a filmmaker we've already talked about, Joe Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And it is his one movie that is out and out bad. Like,
mm-hmm.
his worst movie. The only one I don't like from him. And it is
no
the soloist.
It's pretty terrible.
The Robert De Niro. Robert Downey Jr. And
Electro.
Jamie Foxx.
Django. I mean, when the next Spider-Man movie comes out, the entire time I see him on the screen, I'm just going to be singing a Django song.
You should have like the little thing on your phone to just go ding Django. Like,
no, I'll be at home, so I'm just going to sing it out loud. And not everybody else.
Oh man, can't wait for that movie, for Spider-Man 2. I want to see that movie.
Like, the soloist is terrible. Like, I remember sitting there like just looking at Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr.
I remember thinking that's for a while that movie was pretty.
What?
But that was about it. And Joe Wright, if nothing else, knows how to make things look pretty.
Damn right. Damn right. Douglas.
Guess what, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I like movies again.
What?
Yeah.
Like.
Let's see if they end up on my shelf.
Let's see if the movies he likes, we both hate.
One is mixed, the other one, there's no way that you guys hate that one. This one should be number one, but is number two only because of how voraciously I love the director behind number one. So Chris Nolan is just fucking fantastic.
You motherfucker!
Right?
You goddamn asshole!
What you say? You can't not like this movie.
So I don't know if you're going to have the same movie as me. But we share Nolan love. And there is one movie I'd actually watched, independent of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially all of his movies already. And there was just one movie that you had to... specifically Damien kept trying to force me to watch. Which is a good thing, because I always wanted to watch it and I just never had. And that movie is called The Following.
It's on the shelf, so he's on four movies on my shelf.
And
so that's why he was turning around and looking at the shelf so much.
No, it's not. And that movie was just fantastic. I'm not even going to talk about the movie. Guys, people out there,
it's in the Criterion collection.
It's in the Criterion collection, which I'm still saying I'm not sure about. I think they're trying to fuck with us.
I know they are. I am absolutely 100% behind you.
But guys, this is one they got right, and if you haven't watched it, you need to. Please.
So now that I have to take The Following off my list. So massive. So Kieslowski has made a lot of movies. He made The Double Life of Vernie, which to this day haunts me in my sleep. And
you,
I said,
do you see dreams of Vernie?
Yeah, I've just nothing happening with
so,
no explanations.
So hold on, how many watches have you gotten so far?
Too many, way too many. But that is not the point. Because of watching that dumb movie, I went, alright, let me see if there's other movies that he's made that are good. Turns out there is one that is exceptional. He has the Colors trilogy, Red, White, and Blue. Blue is far and away the best one of the trilogy, at least it is for me. And that movie is outstanding. I will never recommend anyone watch any of his movies. Because I don't want anybody to come back to me and bitch and moan, because what am I going to argue? Yeah, sure. I'm just going to have to agree with everything and go, I don't know why I like it. I think I like The Double Life of Vernie. I've seen it enough times. I have to have liked something. But that movie's still terrible. I still kind of don't like it. So, yeah. Kieslowski. Blue.
So I'm going to bring up a name that I've mentioned a lot on this podcast. And you guys generally kind of just start going like, Andrew, why are we still talking about him? Whenever I bring up his name, and it's Steven Soderbergh.
Andrew, why are we still talking?
and as I mentioned, these are movies I don't like from filmmakers.
What?
There are movies by Soderbergh I don't like. Andrew, I don't believe you.
I'm going to ensure that this is recorded as that you can't delete.
And this movie like is entitled The Bubble. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie.
No,
I remember when it came out, but I have not seen it. This is one of those movies where I don't think anything really happens. It's about this small town which has like this factory which makes dolls, and it's about these people who don't really do anything, and they're just at this factory. And I don't remember anything else about this movie other than hating every living moment of it. And it's only about 80 minutes long. The thing about Soderbergh is he jumps in between different kinds of filmmaking, and this is one of those where he went, I don't need story. And I just went, fuck, I'm dead. I will still love Chet to the end of my days. I will still love the girlfriend experience. But Bubble, I know I just said a keyword to make Damien automatically depressed.
Goddamn girlfriend experience, Andrew.
Okay.
You've seen that movie, right?
Girl, no, I haven't. As I said before, this... This does not deserve number one status, right? But have I ever told you that I love the Coen Brothers?
No.
No?
I think
I really love
Have you watched Miller's Crossing?
I really love them.
No. Alright, retracting that statement. He does not love them.
So there are movies I've seen from them, there's movies I haven't, right? I actually have watched most of their movies. And the movie that... It's an odd standout because it's actually not one of their better movies. But I love it to death nonetheless, right? And I think it's probably because it was the first of their movies that some people... So generally people love their movies. I don't think that you can really... You really find a large following of people who don't like any of his movies or some of their movies. Most of them are awesome to most people. And this one, not quite much. It's a mixed bag, really. And the bag is kind of weighted to the I don't like this movie.
Oh, shit. I realize I think I know what he's going for.
And I don't know why, but as with a lot of their movies, the more I watch it, the more I love it. And it's just perfect. This movie is Intolerable Cruelty. It stars George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones. And it's about
the Massey prenup.
A lawyer named Mike Massey and his ironclad prenuptial agreement. And how Catherine Zeta-Jones bitch slapped the hell out of it. And it's just fantastic.
Nail on Fanny.
Hence the Baron counts for this be. Yes. Yes.
I do like that movie a lot.
You should watch that movie.
Alright, question.
I remember it being funny the first time I saw it.
Since we bring up the Coen Brothers, quick question. Everyone kind of goes in between as to what their favorite Coen Brothers movie is, but I tend to really only accept one of two responses.
Oh.
What's your favorite Coen Brothers movie?
The Big Lebowski.
Wrong. What's your favorite Coen Brothers movie?
Sorry, True Grit.
Wrong as well.
So what's the right answer?
The right answer is one of two.
Yes.
And I switch between these every time. No Country for Old Men,
yeah,
and Fargo.
I figured
those two.
Much. Well, I figured the No Country. Fargo, I mean, the thing about it is, Andrew, they make top quality movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So no answer is really wrong.
I know.
The
I
thing
know.
About
it
is, though,
is
if you want serious movies,
movie,
then okay.
Every time they put out a new good movie, that becomes the one I watch
what
most.
What was your favorite by
True
the way?
Grit.
True Grit, okay.
That's the one I watch the most. And then it automatically becomes the one I like the most.
You know what
when
it could be as
this
well?
This new one comes out.
Llewyn Davis.
Llewyn,
yeah,
Davis. I like that. In fact, when they made... what was the one they made before True Grit with...
Reading, Burning, Burn After Reading.
Burn
After
Reading.
No,
A Serious Man.
A Serious Man.
Yeah.
Right. I remember when A Serious Man came out, I'm like, I think this might be my favorite Coen Brothers movie, and it was the same with Burn After Reading. I like most of their movies.
Yeah, Burn After Reading is alright. I think because for me, right, and I think it's just because I love their humor, right, and so yes, they make a lot of great serious movies, and I love those too. But and they still have humor in them. But if the humor is what I want, then I'm going to have to go for the comedies, right? And The Big Lebowski is one of those where I have a lot of nostalgia for it because I've watched it for a long time. I got introduced to it when I was like a teenager, and I've just kept... It's one of those that at some point along the way, I'm going to watch it at least once or twice in a year, or sometimes much, much more. And even just the other day, it was on TV and I started watching it. Probably my first time in quite some time watching that movie. And I, again, with their movies, the more you watch them, the more you love about it. And I was laughing my ass off. I think that was the hardest I laughed. Well, definitely, even at that movie, given the amount of times I've watched it. But I think that's the hardest I laughed, and the longest and the most consistent that I've laughed at a movie ever. The movie just kept going, and I could not breathe. I was just going with it. I love that movie, Andrew.
I was supposed to have another pick on my list.
But it was the stolen.
Right, so I was trying to think of, you know, directors that I love that have made terrible movies, and I would watch it. But most of the, like how I was doing the list, it was movies that the only thing that drew me to the movie was
the director,
right? Yeah. Not like the trailers, I think. But then that's kind of difficult because, like, when we see trailers, even when the trailers are at times terrible, once the director's name is there,
exactly,
we're on board.
As I was about to say to you, even the best trailer, mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is, you know, trailers can be good, and I don't go to the movies very often, but once a trailer says directed right. by Scorsese or whoever it is,
right.
that is me watching that movie because of the director, right. you know?
So like,
and I know that you're the same way.
Yeah, so I'm like the Indiana Jones Part 4, whatever the name of it was. I'm like, did I watch that because of the director? I'm like, no, I watched that because
of... But do you like Spielberg in particular, Jones. Though? I don't think
you're a big fan of
Spielberg.
Like, the thing, I like a lot of his movies,
mm-hmm.
but I don't hold,
yeah,
like, the
don't
reverence that people
regard,
have for
exactly.
him. Like, from E.T. all the way, people are like, this man has revolutionized film, and it's the greatest shit of all. Like, guys.
Am I the only one here who loved Lincoln?
I haven't watched it, so I don't know.
I'm like, guys, his movies are, like, I'm not trying to say he makes terrible movies. He's made some, but he's really good at directing. There's no argument there. I don't know. So I was thinking, I'm like, alright, who is a director that I love but makes terrible movies? And the name that kept popping up was Michael Bay, because those Transformers movies are terrible. But Michael Bay,
oh, I know why.
Making okay. Transformers.
Okay.
Like, I was going, anyone, if someone else made a Transformers movie, it's going to go and watch that because it says Transformers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I don't know. And let me explain. Like, here, Armageddon, Bad Boys 1.
Yeah.
Bad Boys 2.
No, it took me a second, but then I realized why.
Bad Boys 2.
Why you hold it.
Bad Boys 2, the second ending, where they go to Cuba for no reason. And then Bad Boys 2 again.
Bad Boys 2 so much.
So good!
Bad Boys 2 is...
There's so few people
horrible.
That love it.
I hate that movie.
Why is there no Blu-ray?
I love the first movie. The first movie is awesome. Even though I've watched it
Douglas.
Recently and realized that I really shouldn't love that movie.
Douglas.
But I do love it.
Douglas, you Shannon can't like the too. First one and not like the second
really?
One. It is impossible.
I don't remember that. Well, alright. To be fair, I only watched the second one at Carib and have never watched it since.
Douglas Robinson, you need. It is so good and so dumb.
Was it at Carib? Wherever it was in a theater?
What's your last
My last pick goes to, once again, another director name, which you guys tend to give the response to, why the fuck are we still talking about her? And it's Sofia Coppola.
Ah, yes.
This week... Right,
wait. I'll switch in. I'm sorry. My number 5 pick is all her movies. Because the only reason I've seen any of them is because of her name. And they're all terrible.
Andrew... Please don't ever say that about me and Soko again.
Yes.
So while I agree, she has made a few
mistakes. Because you haven't watched Somewhere yet.
Of course I have.
You have? Okay.
I didn't like it, but I've watched it.
I like that. I like the reserve.
Damien has done all the
things. Yeah.
I didn't like it.
So, Andrew, Sofia Coppola is amazing.
So cool.
And she will come back. And I know that I haven't watched Bling Ring yet, and I would
love... God damn right, you have
it. I would like to love it, and I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try hard.
So yes, my movie pick is The Bling Ring.
I know it is.
I saw that movie.
I heard him watching it, and every now and again I'd hear, "Oh!"
What I love is watching both of you come to my side.
No,
like,
I'm not slowly, on your
no,
side.
No, no, not no, yet. No. Not yet, Douglas.
Oh, don't worry. Like two movies away,
don't
right?
worry. Right? You guys are lying to yourself about all of the ones except Somewhere and Bling Ring. Right?
Well, okay.
Douglas, you can't like... Nobody in the world likes Somewhere.
I like Somewhere.
Nobody. I'm ignoring him. Right? And I'm just going to watch as she keeps...
David, why are you not at work?
Oh. Right.
Hold on. I have to make an announcement to all 10 people, or sorry, all 5 people who listen to this podcast. Damien just got a call. I believe it's from work.
Pretty sure it was.
He picked up his phone, didn't even look at it, clicked the off button, and just threw it across the room.
So Damien's boss was listening.
Yeah. No, I'm fired. Except
no,
I can't be.
It'll take around a week for him to fire you.
Except I can't be. Because there's no one anywhere near as good as I am at doing this dumb job. Right. So watching you, like, I know she's going to come up with more movies, of course, because Coppola is her last name, and everybody named Coppola gets money to make movies. And I'm going to watch as you guys just realize slowly. Maybe.
I wonder why Nick Cage has never been in any of her movies.
Maybe. Why would Nick Cage be...
They're related. They're like cousins or something. I don't know. I just wonder.
Because Sofia Coppola wants to prove to everybody that she doesn't need any of the... she doesn't... You're right. Her father's name is not the reason she's making movies.
Go fuck
she's
yourself.
Talented
she was,
in
she
her
was
own
in,
right.
She was in both The Godfather and
no,
The Godfather.
No, but she didn't have a choice in that. She didn't, but she was a child. She wasn't making movies then. When she started making movies, she's like, I'm not going to get any of my dad's big name friends. I'm going to do all low budget shit.
Not like Bill Murray. Or,
all low budget shit.
Or Jason Schwartzman.
What?
Or
what?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst was never a big name.
What does that have to do with Francis Ford Coppola?
Yeah. No.
What do any of those names
name.
Have
yeah.
to do with
exactly.
Francis
Wait.
Ford Coppola?
Yeah. Who's saying big names?
Well, Bill Murray and Francis
he
Ford
said
Coppola.
Big names related to family.
No, I'm talking...
No, well...
Bill Murray Coppola movie was there.
My interpretation is that the big names are drawn because she has her big daddy name. That's what I interpreted.
I'm saying she didn't go, you know, all right... Call all the people that was in my father's movies.
Martin Sheen going to
My little girl is making a fun little film. And you need to be in it, goddammit. And she's gotten more and more esoteric. And more narrow. And now we have the Bling Ring.
And the weirdest part is this one isn't esoteric or narrow.
That is exactly
right. And that's what...
That is why you can't like it. That is... She's trying to broaden... herself and you're like, no, that's not what I like. I like when it is just the most.
So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it with whatever Damien thinks I don't like about this movie.
So
I'm
nice.
Going to leave it there.
I can't wait to see it though. I cannot wait to watch The Bling Ring.
Damien to come and be like, I love this movie.
I'm waiting. I need to give myself time. Get myself comfortable, be in a good space.
Get like a cup of tea.
Alright. I want a cup of tea. To truly hate her.
But it's hot outside. I should drink a cup of tea in here.
You can drink
a
tea.
Actually, drinking tea makes you cool down faster.
Didn't
that phone turn off?
Well, I'm so far away. Do we wait until the ringing is over?
Sure. Although the podcast is over.
And it just stopped.
Thank you for listening. This is like our outro music right now.
You threw it into the shoes. I saw it go in the shoes.
The ring should be our outro music.
Dick.
So yeah, that's been the podcast.
See you guys called.
Are you doing a bat triple? Wow.
As usual, you can hear the podcast over on gmanreviews.com through iTunes, Stitcher, or I'm sure there are billion other apps you'll find it in. Go rate, review us, go say nice things, go leave comments on the site. Douglas is DJ, I lost his name. Damien is Damien_White, and Gman Reviews all on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Thank you guys.